Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Running Things with Donovan Bailey.
Hello out there, and welcome back to another episode of Donovan Bailey's Running Things with your co-host, me, Simon Jane. Hey, Donovan.
What's happening, Simon? Good day today, man. Good day today.
Super good. I love this part where summer kind of ends, but it's not gone. It's kind of like hanging on. You know, and then fall is kind of like intermeshing a little bit. So the colors are kind of changing, but it's still warm.
Well, that must be the truly Canadian in you, Simon.
I guess.
I mean, I just, you know what's really good? It's amazing golfing weather right now. It really is. For me, it's really golfing weather, but I do like it to be muggy and hot.
I feel so like I have to say that. I feel like you're going the J.R. Smith way here. You're going to like, maybe you're going to like practice a little. You drop golf quite a bit in these podcasts. Potentially, are you like eyeing like a senior PGA thing down the road?
Oh God, no. Listen, I think that most athletes like myself, when you retire from your sport, you have to find something that is challenging, and golf is that game. So it doesn't really matter how big or tall or strong you are, if you don't learn the game and practice the game, then the game itself has a tendency to punch you in the face a lot. It will continue to challenge me. Golf is something that will continue to challenge me until I can't walk anymore. That's
I pictured immediately like at least three friends that I know who are all very mild mannered dudes, but for some reason or another have admitted at least to breaking a club like while they're playing, right?
Well, essentially that's the game, and you can't allow the frustrations to get to you because you can blame no one but yourself. So those friends that you have that broke those clubs, it's because they yanked a shot and they shanked a shot and they did something and they mishit or they topped a ball or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It is one of those games that it is you versus the course and the club and the golf course itself, and the scoreboard is your ally. So, I mean, it's one of those things. I love golf.
And dependent on how honest you want to be with your scoreboard, of course.
Well, again, you're reporting to yourself. So if you want to lie to yourself that you can qualify for the senior PGA and you can't break 100, then that's on you.
Yeah, that is on you.
Right.
All right, let's see what's been going on. So, I mean, I think we both kind of were looking forward to chatting about this. It's a wonderful time in sport right now, not only for women, but also Canadians. And as luck would have it for our conversation today, not only did we just witness an amazing U.S. Open, but we witnessed the birth of potentially two future game changers.
Yeah. You have two Canadians. You have two born Canadians.
Yep, that's true.
In the finals.
100%. A lot of people don't realize that Emma, and I think her last name is pronounced Raducanu, she's actually born in Toronto. Even though she represents Great Britain now, she was born in Toronto. And of course, we all know Leila Fernandez, who represented Canada, is born in Montreal.
I think it's amazing. And the things that we have discussed on this podcast here, and also things that I've always preached about, is the fact that young Canadians no longer just want to participate. And young Canadians want to get out there and win. And these two young women are a huge example of what I expect and I see and I cheer for. I think it's so amazing. Clearly, there was a lot more news about Layla in Canada because she does represent Canada. And so I want to address address her and how she's been. I love the fact that she's such... At 19 years old, such a mature person, such an amazing... First of all, she's one of the best, as you mentioned earlier. Both of these young ladies are two of the best tennis players in the world today. And so that's number one. Number two, I love the fact that someone like Layla is so in the moment. The fact that at 19 years old, she, you know, has the wherewithal to be thankful to her coach, who is her dad, to be thankful to her mother, who is there and part, incredible part of the sports system. So in the moment, to be thankful to the people of New York, you know, obviously 9/11 is something that the entire world knows about, and the incredible events that happened there, September 2001. And so is it 2001?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So so the fact that this young woman is so incredible. So not only is she playing tennis at the highest level. She remembers exactly where she is and who she needs to thank. So, you know, for myself as a mama's boy and my dad, and I say it all the time.
I love being a mama's boy.
Exactly. And my dad who's certainly my best friend. I love the fact that Layla has kept it very tight in speaking about her family and how supportive they have been. But also, as I was saying earlier, stayed in the moment where she's thanking, you know, the audience for showing up and for understanding that she is in New York, and New York and America had gone through some incredible things over the last 20 years. And the fact is, this is someone, you know, when I think of sponsorship, and obviously what you have won is two great, incredible young ladies. But I think Layla is one of those kids that when you're looking at long-term sponsorship, a lot of the organizations out there is someone that you can have as an ambassador for the next 20 years, where she's going to be playing the sport at the highest level. But not only that, she knows herself, she knows her brand, and she's very well aware of the people around her and very well aware of her surroundings.
Yeah, let me actually read a little bit of her, what she said at the U.S. Open. and I quote, "I know on this day, it was especially hard for New York and everyone around the United States. I just want to say that I hope I can be as strong and as resilient as New York has been the past 20 years." That right. is so incredibly beautiful. Right. It is so incredibly touching. And as you pointed out, it's very, you know, apropos, like good for her. Like, you know, and say, you know, I'm sure we have naysayers that are like, oh, it was all PR. Sure. Who cares? You know, the fact of the matter is she said it with confidence. She said it with sincerity. To me, I think you touched on it as well. What I really like about her is that, you know, you and I, when we're not on microphone, when we're not chatting on this podcast, you and I are a lot more political in our conversations. We tend to dig into each other a little bit about, you know, what's going on here in our country and abroad, because, you know, it's not just an issue in Canada. It's an issue around the world, what's happening in politics and the division and what we see. And I think, you know, you and I can both safely say that Canada has been struggling lately with its identity.
Yeah, maybe. But one of the incredible things is that sports is the one, the great thing that I've loved. I mean, from politically, the identity of Canada politically, maybe there's a struggle. But what I've loved about the sporting side of Canada
is it represents us perfectly.
It represents the new generation of people who want success And also remember that there's that they're respectful and have manners.
That's what I meant. The identity, right?
Yeah. So I mean, so you're still very much Canadian. And so the quote that you read is that's the quote. I mean, obviously, I watched a couple of her tennis matches with me and my friends, who a lot of them are not even big tennis fans.
Right.
But how she managed herself and managed her brand at this young age, like when she was not physically hitting the ball on the tennis court, was amazing. And I think that for all young athletes out there, or, you know, regardless of what sport you are, or anybody that at some point is going to address the media, you need to look at someone like Leila Fernandez and see exactly what you're supposed to do. Always be in the moment. Always play and work your hardest. Always be in the moment, and always thank those people who are there for you every single day.
And in her case, with an air of modesty as right. well, right? And then that, I think, is a large part of the quote unquote Canadian identity.
Well, again, the modesty thing, I think it's just a personality thing. It's very. I always say that sports is filled with different personalities, and it's very clear that she's a nice person. I don't know her. But I'm very certain I will. And if I was in New York, I'd have probably been one of those guys.
I can't believe we finally come across someone that you don't know.
Well, she's young. She's young. So I'm very certain I could reach out to her dad and or her mom. But if I was in New York, I certainly would be. I'd have probably been with Steve Nash watching her play. Because, I mean, again, I totally respect and appreciate someone that young, that positive. You know, so I really love what she's doing.
She heaps some praise on Nash as well. And in the course of this tournament, there's another interview where she recalls her father saying something to her, like, you have to work as hard as Nash.
Absolutely. Know? Well, Steve is a great example. Steve is a guy who played soccer, you know, and essentially for all intents and purposes was a short white guy from Vancouver.
Yep.
And who became an NBA MVP.
MVP.
Right. So, I mean, again, Steve is someone I completely and totally respect for the things that he's done. So Leila is completely correct. I mean, Steve is definitely one of those people that, rightly so, her father should use as an example of what it takes to work hard, to achieve all your goals, especially when you're at the highest level and the big spotlight is shining upon you.
Yeah. And, you know, before we move on, we should just put a nod out to Fernandez's actual physical accomplishment on the court. She did make the semifinals. But what I found more poignant...
Finals, but that's all right.
Oh, sorry, finals is right. My bad, Fernandez. She made it to the finals. But what I found even more compelling in that journey was who she beat along the way.
Right.
So you have Osaka, you have Kerber, Fidelina, and Sabalenka. That's even right there. That's incredible.
Well, she is. I mean, I watched probably all of those matches, but I'm saying that she's someone clearly who's quite focused, and clearly someone who it doesn't take a lot to motivate her to win. You know, so a part of one of the incredible things about individual sport, something like tennis. On any given day, someone else can win. You know, like, it's not always the favorite that's going to win. And I think that Leila took the opportunity to go to New York, and when the light was shining brightest, she beat all of those incredible people. So now, I mean, she's going to get the respect that she deserves. And all she has to do really now is just doing the exact same thing she's been doing. Continue to learn more, continue to be disciplined, continue to work hard, continue to be thankful to her support system, continue to be a nice person, but be ferocious on the tennis court, and she's going to be successful. I mean,
fearsome.
Right. And one of the things is that I love the fact that she's there and she's in the moment, and it's incredible upside for this young lady.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll return in a minute.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Topically in the news to this, we're going to get to it. We've actually done a decent job avoiding it because, you know, for reasons of optimism, perhaps. But we're not going to be able to get away from it this episode. And that is sport and COVID. So we'll start with some good news. Our beloved Toronto Raptors have been granted permission to come home to Toronto. And play.
That is welcome news because I believe, and it's not just me believing, it's probably all of Raptor Nations.
All of Raptor Nation.
Believe that the Tampa Bay Raptors does not win a lot of games.
No, they do not.
and so the Toronto Raptors with home fans and maybe home food and maybe home cooking and maybe home cheerleaders.
I don't think any of those things are actually maybes.
Well, yes, but I'm saying maybe because I'm being a pessimist. But my greatest assumption is that when you're not on home court, you're not as good. And I think that they will have an incredible season because they have now been allowed to come back and play at home. And you know, it's good that Toronto has done a good job in their COVID mandate. And the government has allowed the fellas to come back home.
Yeah, it's welcome news for anyone who follows basketball. Even I mean, if you're a true basketball fan and not just a fan of a single team, you always want to see the best in the sport. You want to see the best competition. You know, you want to see the best rivalries, and you want to see in most cases. Maybe I might be a minority on this one, but I like to see the underdog do well. And you know, Toronto, even though we won the chip not too long ago, we're still considered an underdog.
You think that?
Well, I think we carry it well too, though. That's why I like it. But I mean, even in Tampa, we were doing pretty well. And then, you know, we got a COVID case and then the team got decimated by that in terms of like who was out, how long they were out. Some of them suffered some fairly severe medical conditions from it, like extensive fatigue, illness, things like that. So, you know, it's not obtuse to think that they're going to do better here.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, that's remember you said good news.
Yep, and this it's good is, news.
So the good news for me is that our beloved Toronto Raptors is going to be back home, and I'm going to get to actually attend a couple of games.
Hells yeah!
Attend a couple of games and see the fellas do their thing right here in Toronto. I'm looking forward to that. I believe that the season will be, it'll be way better than it was in Tampa.
Oh, it's going to be so fun. Even just to have them. The only regret that I have is that Kyle Lowry, who, for those who don't know, used to be the starting point guard for the Toronto Raptors and the most beloved player in the history of our sport here, in the history of our franchise. Just, you know, such a lovable character, brought so much galvanization to the locker room and to the fans and to the media. I can't think of anyone that would speak poorly of him. He never got to play his final game at home. You know, he never got to like, cause a player like that deserves the fan send off. A player like that deserves to remember that moment.
Well, yeah. I mean, unfortunately Kyle's a victim of he got a COVID trade. And so, I will second exactly what you said, Simon, is that he's definitely one of the basketball players, that united the entire country. And he's someone who loved being in Canada, loved his family being here, loved the Raptors, you know, liked the environment here, went out and was partaking in charities and every single, just all around good guy.
So, he was a community guy for sure.
So I love the fact that he is such a good guy and a Toronto Raptor. I understand the business of sport. And so Kyle got traded. I totally understand that. But I'm looking forward to when he comes back because I know that there's going to be a lot of love. And I will definitely be at that game. because I want
to. I want to be
at that game where I can pay my own personal homage to him. But yeah, he's certainly a good dude.
I want to be at that game too. I don't know if I'll be able to get in the stadium for that game, but I'm definitely going to try. And hopefully he doesn't drop like 80 on us or something nuts. But on to the more, let's say, what would you call it? The more controversial side of COVID and sport. And this applies more so to the continent and not just Canada. So heading into the fall is generally the start of a lot of these leagues, you know, NBA and NFL specifically, NHL as well. And the MLB is also wrapping up in October is when they do their playoffs. And, you know, as the world continues to struggle with how we're handling this and how it affects travel and business and lifestyle and all these things that basically fatigue us daily, we have now come into the argument of mandated vaccinations. And say what you want about it. You know, obviously we have different personalities and we have different beliefs, and that's all well and good. I don't challenge anyone's belief. I think, Donovan, I think you agree with me that, like, you know, I leave it up to the person.
Well, you have to leave it up to the person. I mean, ultimately, we know what's happening out there.
Right.
We know the realities of this virus. We know people are dying. And so, yeah, I don't believe that someone should be forced to be vaccinated, but also someone who doesn't want to be vaccinated, understand that they have to show some tests to participate.
But here's where we're at.
That's just me.
Well, you also mentioned to me that you understand the business of sport.
Right, the business of sport, 100%.
So, you know, here's where we are. Here's the crossroads of the issue is like, how do you protect the business model and maintain the integrity of the autonomy of one's own body, right? So like, and again, we're not talking, 50-50 here. It's pretty much an outlier scenario in all of the leagues. I believe that the NBA is at 85%. I believe that the NFL is actually in the 90 percentile.
You're talking about vaccinated
people. Players. Sorry, apologies. Yeah, mm-hmm. Vaccinated players.
Right.
And I think that the MLB, the last time I checked, had 23 teams of, you know, total that had reached 85%. So we're not talking about a complete, let's say, pushback of right. vaccinations. We're mm-hmm. talking about more of an outlier scenario. But I just wanted to ask you, like, you know, as a business guy who, let's say you were, you know, financially involved with an organization.
I was an owner, right?
Yeah, if you were an owner. Mm-hmm. How would you handle it? Like, where do you think the fair play is? Because, you know, again, in most of these scenarios, i.e. NFL and NBA, they have very, very strict protocols for unvaccinated players that will require daily testing
right.
and a number of different things. I think that's fair.
Yeah, so do I.
I think that's absolutely fair.
So, I mean, so if you're asking me a question as an owner of or shareholder in any of these teams, I would tell all my players that, you know what, I think it's a great idea for you all to be vaccinated, just because I want to make sure that the business of this team continues and we get out and we put the greatest product on the field of play, because that's the number one thing for me. Right. But also you have to think about the health of each player. And sometimes also some of these players, civil rights. So ultimately, for those who choose not to be vaccinated, they have to understand that in order to participate in this, the same business model, in the same team that's going to have, that's going to field a squad that we think can win, you have to participate as part of that team. So you have to do your part. So clearly, so for a non-vaccinated player, following a protocol of a daily negative COVID test, it's something that I think, you know, is just fine. I mean, I know what I would do. I know what I would do if I was part of a team. I know what I would do if I was competing as an athlete today. I also know what I would do. And if I chose not to be vaccinated, then I would definitely be someone that would invite certainly and agree to a daily testing protocol to make sure that I'm healthy and to make sure that the players around me are healthy.
Right. And that makes sense to me. And, you know, if we were able as owners or as a society even to come to an agreement like that, I think all would be well and good. But now we're in this other scenario where there's two other components here. There's a, in our case in Canada, province to province, and in the States, state to state. So here's the tricky part now is that you don't have a COVID mandate. Let's say, you know, like the NFL, the NFL has wants one, the NFLPA does not. But the state of New York, for example, is one of, I think, three states or four states that restricts travel
right.
by sports personnel mm-hmm. into the city if you're unvaccinated. So now you're going to be leaving behind players
right.
or coaches. And in the case of, let's say, the NHL, who are also doing the whole, you know, we'll leave it up to each organization to do their own guidelines. Mm. Some teams have now let go coaching staff because of their refusal. So now you're breaking up your coaching staff. You know, I guess my larger question is like, at what point now are you sacrificing? Because you're a big guy for sports mentality.
Right.
You're a big guy for team, community, all those different kinds of things. At what point are now we sacrificing the genuineness, the authenticity of the sport, of the teamwork, of being in line with your teammates, if you're challenging that they can even be a part of it? And does that even remotely reflect what's happening internally, you think, where players are like, you think players are like, dude, get vaccinated. Like, what's wrong with you?
Well, of course. If it's a team, if it's a team thing, then it does. There is some semblance of pressure. I'm very certain that there is, because in any sports team I've ever been a part of, one, there's always banter. There's always motivation.
Oh, I bet.
There's always motivation. But more importantly, there's always praise and or criticism.
Right.
So you're going to have athletes that are going to say, dude, you can't come with us, or actually, so you can't play with us because you're gonna have to, instead of getting vaccinated, you're gonna have to prove because I think that you mentioned earlier that some of these people are being let go. Some of them are, but I think that
for sure, coaching staff. I've seen coaching staff
fired. But that's what I'm saying. Some of the coaching staff's gonna be let go. Some of the players, like I said, the hassle of dealing with a test every 24 hours, even if they're traveling with a team, to me is just a pain in the butt. So at the end of the day, as someone who's, you know, who's been part of teams, I would say to them, hey, listen, you really should, you know, either get vaccinated or never complain, ever complain about the things that, never ever complain about what it is, that the protocol that needs to be followed. So for me, two things. As a just a fan, I think the protocol that they've put forth for the entire team, for all of the major league sports, works real well, man. That's just, I mean, that's the bottom line for me.
Right.
It's that players get vaccinated or understand that you're signing up for, if you choose not to, then here's what you got to do because the game's got to go on. And that's the business of sport.
And you don't think that they should invoke a mandate, like a mandatory mandate?
People are always going to, I don't think that they should have a mandate because people are always going to have, whether it's religious reasons or civil rights issues, there's several things that people can, that certain people can put forward that is going to allow them to get away with whatever their thoughts and what their feelings are. I mean, right. I know this.
Right.
However, if the game has to go on and it's as simple as for those of you who are not vaccinated, then you're going to be exposed and you're the one that might get more sick than the vaccinated players. Here's the protocol that we want you to follow in order to keep the business of sport going, then I agree with that.
Yeah. See, for me, who I try my best to remain, like I have no problem saying to the world that I'm vaccinated. I have no problem saying that I am supportive of vaccinations. I have a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, that's a lie, but I definitely have friends that I trust and I'd love and admire, who are not vaccinated.
Right.
You know, I don't challenge them on this. It's not an issue of like animosity between us. We have had healthy debates here and there,
which is very good.
I think it's important.
Very good. Communication, healthy debates is what makes the world go around right now. And yeah, I have several friends who just don't believe it and thinks a hoax, and some of it is conspiracy. And then it's a testing drug, and there's all of this stuff.
People are
dying. So I want to travel.
I want to travel so bad, but for me, the major one for this, because as you know, from living here, we are on course right now to institute a vaccination passport.
Absolutely. But that was always going to be the case.
I always thought so too.
I don't know why people avoided it or avoid talking about it.
Well, here it is. And you know,
health passport, I don't mean to interrupt you, but
it's fine.
A health passport is probably more important now than like a Canadian or like a British or an American passport. A health passport is more important. I just want you to wrap your head around
that. We are heading into that world. And I think that, and I was actually going to, we were going to, I think that's where we were going was in this conversation, is that I think that people really, specifically people that are like, you know, anti-vax or, you know, that think this is a big play by pharma. And I'm not saying it's not, by the way. I'm not saying that they're not in greedily and happily enjoying.
They're making
this.
Hundreds of billions.
Yeah.
Business.
Though. I'm not spending any love to pharmaceutical companies right now. Like I definitely think that they're in this to win it for sure.
I'm sending love to the pharmaceutical companies. Get on. We want some more sponsors. Yes. Bring them up. Yes. It's all right. I'll convince Simon. All right. Not worry about it.
We'll test them all. Listen, like I said, I got two different vaccines in me, man. So like if anyone's going to be scared, it's going to be me. But, I do think it's interesting times, and I encourage everyone to really, really, you know, don't get on each other. Like wherever side you fall in this argument, I definitely think the conversation should be positive. It should be healthy.
Right.
Remember that we're all friends, lovers, neighbors, you know, we're not enemies here.
Yeah. Well, you know, this, a big part of what it is that I see society as now, clearly we get our news from all kinds of crazy sources.
Crazy
which is madness. And I think that sometimes I'm very certain when you have healthy debates with your friends, I know when I have healthy debates with mine, we can all dial back and have some sense of some commonsensical discussion where it's like, okay, here's what happens. You want to do all these things. So, you know, wear a mask, put a hat on, like, you know, wear boots. It's snowing outside. I'm talking about some of the things that I see or hear people discussing are some of the dumbest things in the world. Like at the end of the day, we all want to make sure that everyone is healthy.
Everyone.
Every single person. And I don't care about your sexual orientation or your political affiliation. It's none of those things.
Doesn't matter.
You know, at the end of the day, every single person is dealing with this. And for me, we certainly can discuss what it's like in sports, but it's still very much someone who's walking on the street. I just want to make sure that the person that's out there who chooses not to be vaccinated, just understand that you yourself might get hurt really bad. And if there's a protocol that you need to follow for you to function like everyone else in some sort of environment, like whatever, right. Like it's a covered environment, a restaurant or whatever it is, just understand that is really what, that is really what they're saying. You know, what's funny. I relay some of these things to, when I was competing track and field and when I signed up to represent Canada, part of signing up and representing Canada is that I can get tested for drugs at any time possible. So at no point whatsoever can I get pissed off when these people showed up.
Right.
Right. And I'm saying to you that, yeah, it's definitely another level, but here we are. We all have to, I mean, I signed up for something. So I understood and understand what that means. But now, this is life or death. And it's life or death for every single human being walking on the planet.
All of us, right? Every single one of right? us.
So essentially, so here's how I look at it. We're all signed up to be human beings. we all want to have healthy lives. So in order to have those healthy lives, you just do you according to you, but understand that, you know, your actions really, you know, could affect someone else's actions.
Well, and here, like, okay, so not that we need to draw attention to other people's podcasts, but this is, I'm not going to voice my opinions on Joe Rogan because that's a whole episode in itself. Because I do love and hate the guy at the same time.
Joe is good people.
But I always find it weird or obtuse when people point out sort of, I don't know what you want to call him, a disruptor, I guess is a good way of calling him, as sort of like the conveyor of truth when he himself is pushing other brands, right? Like it's not like he's like, hey, here's how, because he got COVID. Did you know that?
Yes, I know that.
Okay. So it's not like he was like, hey, here's how I got over that. I ate like arrowroot and I chewed on ginseng and like all these things. He's like, oh, by the way.
And I got a Pfizer shot.
Yeah. Well, I think he's been vaccinated.
Oh, of course.
I think he has, even though he pretends that he isn't. I fully think he has.
Well, Donald Trump's been vaccinated.
100%.
Anyone that's getting great advice and also has great staff, a great doctor. I'm just saying to you, like Joe Rogan, you know, he's extremely financially secure. So at the end of the day, he's got private healthcare and he's got some incredible people advising him.
I'm certain that's true.
And I'm telling you this, and I'm very certain that someone has said to him, dude, I don't care what your advice is to get out there and preach to your choir, but for your health, here's what I think you should do. And that's that. I mean, so that's just what I think. Marketing's a hell of a thing. That's what I always say.
Well, I mean, he also tried to market ivermectin, which is like
horse treatment.
It's,
you know, again, but it's Donald Trump was trying to market a whole lot of other things, right? I mean, ivermectin is something apparently that had, there's some research that was done, and apparently there are some results. But ultimately, you could say, hey, you can eat spinach. I'm not saying that.
Disclaimer, we are not saying that spinach
right.
is an effective combatant against COVID-19 or the Delta variant. Just right. to be clear.
What I'm the people get their news from everywhere. And what I'm saying to everyone, not that I'm preaching to you, I'm saying to you, understand wherever you get your news, just take it all with a grain of salt and also have some common sense in ingesting whatever you're doing and also see exactly what you want to do and where you want to be and who you want to be around. Because ultimately, that's what this thing boils down to.
Well, that wraps up another episode of Running Things with Donovan Bailey and me, your co-host, Simon Jane. As always, we are powered by the wonderful people at Acast. And if you like what you're listening to, please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. We truly enjoy talking about today's topics. In closing, we please note to take care of one another. We have a lot of decisions to make, but we truly believe that we can do those things together. Just keep an open mind and make sure to always support one another.